Dr. Randy here on a very special weekend from Intentional Living. You know, Stephen and Rob and I were looking at this very special time in our broadcast year and what we should be doing. And Stephen came up with a great idea that today we would just pause to look at Scripture, to really think about the importance of Good Friday and then the burial of Jesus and then the resurrection. Without Easter, Good Friday has very little meaning, but this was so different. And so for all of us, we thought what would be really an important thing today would be to look at Scripture, not only the New Testament fulfillment of the prophecy of his death and burial and resurrection, but actually go back into the Old Testament to describe and show how there's a connection between what is written in the Old Testament and the fulfillment in the New Testament. I mean, as I mentioned to Stephen just before I came on the air today, this is truly an intentional living program. There is nothing more intentional than what God did through his intentional love for you and me in sending his son, predicted in the Old Testament and fulfilled in the New Testament. So we've invited some of our key staff to come and join us today. In a moment, you're going to hear from Jennifer Abney and then Amy Rollins, both working in our engineering and in our operations department. And then our president for the ministry, Evan Carlson, will be reading some of the scripture as well. So let's get started as we go back into the Old Testament, look at the book of Psalms, Psalm 27. And I think I'm going to ask Jennifer if she would begin looking at the Old Testament, and then we'll have the reading from the New Testament as well. So Jennifer, take us to Psalm 27.
My enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence.
Many false witnesses spoke against him, but they contradicted each other. Finally, some men stood up and gave this false testimony. We heard him say, "I will destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days I will build another made without human hands." But even then, they didn't get their story straight.
Then the high priest stood up before the others and asked Jesus, "Well, aren't you going to answer these charges? What do you have to say for yourself?" But Jesus was silent and made no reply. Then the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven."
Then the high priest tore his clothing to show his horror and said, "Why do we need other witnesses? You have all heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?" "Guilty," they all cried. "He deserves to die."
From Deuteronomy 22, "If someone has committed a crime worthy of death and is executed and hung on a tree, the body must not remain hanging from the tree overnight. You must bury the body that same day, for anyone who is hung is cursed in the sight of God."
Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree," so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of glory died, my riches gave, I count but loss, and poor content on all my pride. See from
What a meaningful song any time of the year, but certainly at this time of year, this Easter weekend. And that, by the way, is Chris Tomlin and Matt Redman with an excerpt from the beautiful song, The Wonderful, Wonderful Cross. You know, we're going to get back into Scripture in just a moment. If you just joined us, I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living. And we thought on this Easter weekend that we would just pause and keep the focus intentionally where it belongs. And that is on everything that we do, everything we say we believe, everything that we are so intentional about will have such, well, little meaning without the cross. And so this weekend, we're going to really be focusing on intentional living on the Old Testament. We'll have some more reading from the Old Testament in a moment. And then the fulfillment in the New Testament for those of us who are followers of Christ. And I love the lyrics of that song. See from his head, from his hands, from his feet, sorrow and love flowing mingled down. What a word picture. Did ever such a love and sorrow meet? Or thorns compose so rich a crown? He endured this for you, and he endured this for me. What a powerful reminder. Well, let's get back to Scripture. We have Jennifer, Amy, and Evan reading Scripture. And Jennifer, would you turn into the Old Testament again and share another passage for us?
From Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned, every one, to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return, and when he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls.
From Psalm 22. My enemies surround me like a pack of dogs. An evil gang closes in on me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. My enemies stare at me and gloat. They divide my garments among themselves and throw dice for my clothing.
After they had nailed him to the cross, the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. They sat around and kept guard as he hung there. A sign was fastened above Jesus' head, announcing the charge against him. It read, "This is Jesus, the King of Jews."
From Psalm 22, everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads, saying, "Is this the one who relies on the Lord? Then let the Lord save him. If the Lord loves him so much, let the Lord rescue him."
The leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders also mocked Jesus. He saved others, they scoffed, but he can't save himself. So he is the King of Israel, is he? Let him come down from the cross right now, and we will believe in him. He trusted God, so let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, "I am the Son of God."
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son and make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the ask offers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me to life. I know that it is finished.
What a beautiful song. That's Phillips, Craig, and Dean, and how deep the Father's love is for us. You know, and you think about those words that said, "Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers." And of course, we just heard from Scripture how there were scoffers and those who mocked him at the cross. My wife, Don, and I had the privilege of being in Israel a few times and stand where the traditional site of the cross and the burial of Jesus is. And it's a moving experience just to imagine and picture in our mind those who were passing by on that road and on that side of that hill and were mocking just another, in the minds of many people, just the crucifixion of another person. And yet everything changed on that day. And that's why we're celebrating, we're remembering, we're reflecting, meditating upon this truth this weekend. I'm Dr. Randy, by the way. This is Intentional Living, and it's a little different today. We've asked some of the staff to be reading from the Old Testament and then to see the fulfillment in the New Testament of why Easter and why this Good Friday weekend as well is such a significant time for those of us who are followers of Christ. Let's continue in the Old Testament. I'm going to ask Jennifer, she'll take us to another passage as we lead to the importance of the resurrection of Christ.
From Zechariah 13, "If someone asks, 'What are these wounds on your body?' they will answer, 'The wounds I was given at the house of my friends.' Awake, sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is close to me, declares the Lord Almighty. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered, and I will turn my hand against the little ones."
Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered.'
The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep."
Shepherd of my soul, you will never let me go. Because of you, because of who you are. In the valley low, there's no fear that I'm alone. Because of you, because of who you are.
Shepherd of My Soul by Cutlass. And that song reminds us of the Good Shepherd. And, you know, we see in Scripture that the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And that's certainly what Jesus did for us, the Good Shepherd. And that's why we celebrate. That's why we remember. That's why we reflect. That's why we come together on this Easter weekend to remember the death, the burial, and, of course, the resurrection, the Easter celebration of Jesus. If you just joined us, this is Intentional Living. I'm Dr. Randy, and today our team, I want to thank Stephen Davis in particular for all of his work and pulling together these songs and passages, and for Jennifer and Amy and Evan working with us to read these passages as we reflect not only on the fulfillment in the New Testament of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ, as we turn the corner now to see the real fulfillment of all of this, but also where's the roots? What do we see in the Old Testament that is a reminder of this to encourage us? So I think we'll go back to Scripture another time and look into the Old Testament. And this time I'm going to ask Jennifer to go to Psalm 16 and read from there, and then we'll see the fulfillment of this turning of the corner of why Jesus came and what it means to us and how it's changed all of history. So Jennifer, go ahead and read for us from Scripture.
From Psalm 16, I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for He is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety. For You will not leave my soul among the dead or allow Your Holy One to rot in the grave.
And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you."
From Isaiah 25. In Jerusalem, the Lord of Heaven's armies will spread a wonderful feast for all the people of the world. There He will remove the cloud of gloom, the shadow of death that hangs over the earth. He will swallow up death forever. The Sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears. He will remove forever all insults and mockery against His land and people. The Lord has spoken. In that day, the people will proclaim, "This is our God. We trusted in Him and He saved us. This is the Lord in whom we trusted. Let us rejoice in the salvation He brings."
Scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jennifer. I want to thank you as well as Amy Rollins. Both of these ladies work in our operations department, making sure that the programs that go on our network and everything is put together correctly. And I want to thank Evan Carlson, who's the president of the ministry, and also my eldest son and our eldest son. So thank you for reading today, Evan, as well. You know, as we're wrapping up the show, and today it's been much different than a normal Intentional Living on this Easter weekend, as we're remembering the Old Testament prophecy, and we're also seeing the New Testament fulfillment. One of the reasons it's easy to believe is to see the fulfillment of these passages from the Old Testament. You know, we're talking about God's intentional love from the very beginning, from the foundation of the world. In fact, there's a couple passages I'd like to share before we wrap up today. I'm looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, where it says, "No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began." That's a hard thing to imagine, even before the clock began to tick on eternity. "None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Boy, is that true. And then 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you are redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. You know, on this weekend, as you get into Scripture, of course, we'll turn to these passages on the resurrection of Christ, which really is so powerful, because without Easter, Good Friday has very little significance. But at the same time, to know that there's a history, there's a prophetic history that Jesus came to fulfill that we see in the Old Testament. He came, as the Scripture says, to be the propitiation. That's a big word to mean a substitute. We have all sinned, the Scripture says, and He has come to be that propitiation or substitute for you and me. And as a result, on Easter, we can celebrate the resurrection of Christ. So again, I want to thank our team here, for Stephen Davis in particular, and Rob, and Jennifer and Amy and Evan and the rest of the team who continue every day. I mean, our passion is to help you live an intentional life in Christ. As you hear me say from day to day, life is so short, time is passing so quickly. And as we go through this Easter weekend, we pause and reflect on the eternity that we have ahead of us as followers of Christ. It's a beautiful reminder. But today, as we think about this weekend and we think about Easter, to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, I want to play a song for you to wrap up the show today. It's going back many years, back to 1974. I mean, that's almost 50 years. Written by Annie Herring. It's performed by an a cappella group called GLAAD. And these guys really, it's just a beautiful presentation of a powerful song today. And it's called Easter Song. And as you listen to the words as we go off the air with Intentional Living, this is the reason that we can celebrate living an intentional life in Christ.
Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that you can be born again. Christ is risen from the dead. The angels upon the tombstone said, He is risen, just as He said. Quickly now, go tell His disciples that Jesus Christ is no longer dead.
He is no longer dead.
Just as He said, quickly now, go tell His disciples, Jesus Christ is no longer dead.
Risen from